coaches in the game, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is out. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got...
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another Bold Call Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Kevin Allen, a.k.a. The Geek, and I've got season-long says with me here, as always, the Encyclopedia Footballica, today breaking down some best ball strategies with a mock draft and rankings for the first two rounds of your best ball drafts.
I know this pains you, but we're going to be doing a one QB draft today. I know I've turned you into a super flex monster. I was actually looking at some video footage from our first podcast like 2.5 years ago, and you're like, super flex. I can't even turn my brain to that, and I insisted. But to your credit though, you saw the merit in it pretty quick, and I like now that you're annoyed by one QB drafts.
Yeah, I have come full circle.
Rightfully so.
Well, yeah, and again, we've talked about this before. I believe that is the correct way to play fantasy football in all formats, but that is not how best ball leagues work yet. And I love best ball as a format too. So we've got the double whammy here of I love me some super flex, but I love best ball. Very, very different strategies.
By the way, you're going to come also. You're going to come around on tight end premium and double tight end leagues too.
No. You've gone too far. You've taken it too far for me. But what I do want to say is the other thing we're celebrating here for DFS Army subscribers and everyone is the initiation of our 2021 DFS Army NFL draft kit. The rankings are up. We'll show them a little bit during this podcast as we talk about how to use that specifically to draft your best ball team. So very exciting news that the draft kit has begun. We're still in the early stages, but the full rankings are there. We are continuing to expand as the NFL rookie draft happens. We'll have our rookie rankings, our dynasty rankings.
Yeah.
Everything is getting filled in as information allows it.
And our top 50 overall Superflex redraft rankings. And the purpose of why we're doing a top 50 is because that's really where Superflex and single QB changes, where the QBs get pushed up and maybe some of the wide receivers get pushed down. After the top 50, the first 4 or 5 rounds, it kind of goes back to a normal draft. So what we are going to do is show you cross-positionally top 50 Superflex rankings 1 through 50, the first 4 rounds.
Absolutely. So we're just looking at different formats for the draft kit. We constantly are looking for ways to relay the information in the best and most useful way possible. That's really what we're all about. So that's kind of what Cez and I have gone through and figured out, all right, this is really where we need to go to help you guys who are using the kit to smash your drafts as we have every year. Now, I have to mention our sponsor for this show today, Drafters.com. So I want to talk about the site and very specifically, Drafters is a best ball drafting site. They also have their rank'em game, the pick'em format. But we love best ball and we want to talk about best ball. So one of the cool things right now going on with Drafters, and if you could pop my screen on camera, I want to show you guys this. Guys, there's nothing sexier than overlay. Nothing. What is overlay? Overlay is a contest when you run a contest and it does not fill. Okay. And what ends up happening is, and I'm going to show you this contest right here, the Drafters Early NFL Best Ball Championships. Now, you don't really normally hear me speaking of a specific contest, but the reason I'm talking about this one is because it's only got 2,300 entries out of 6,000 filled. It's a $5.55 buy-in, right? And this contest locks on April 29th. When the real NFL draft starts. Now, why does that excite me? Because there's no way these guys are filling this thing. As a matter of fact, I predict that you'll see at least 1,500 empty rosters in this tournament, which means free money. Money, 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 money.
be careful. YouTube might think that you're actually the song, and it might flag the algorithm that you you copyright infringe because you sounded exactly like the chorus of the real song.
It's happened to me before. I've had some issues more on the rap side. Apparently, YouTube thinks me and Method Man jam like Smuckers. And we are a little too close in voice quality when we bust out a freestyle, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. Hey, I just, like I said, you know, we're going to talk about best ball right now, and we're going to specifically talk about your drafters.com. You got to jump in this thing. I mean, like I said, if you want a legitimate chance to win a big contest, definitely go over to drafters.com. Use DFS Army as your deposit code. They'll give you a free 25% bonus. So if you drop in $100, play some contests, free $25 to play. Absolutely go in there, use the code DFS Army. And if you want to, you know, there's no sharks in there right now. So if you feel like you're pretty good at best ball, or if you feel like you're just beginning out, this is Drafters is the perfect place to go out there and give it a shot and draft. It's really fun. Great format, great interface too.
Yeah. And we'll talk about we're talking about best ball strategies, which you can apply to this contest in particular. Tournament best ball strategy is really, really, really important to execute as we're entering these contests. But more importantly than anything else, it's free money. Yep. They're going to have 2,000 spots of overlay. That means in a 6,000 person contest, only 4,000 entries will fill here. You're going to have zeros all over the place. That you just got to attack those because the ROI is ridiculous. That's how you do this. Now, what you're looking at on screen is my first, my first team drafted for this contest, and I plan to draft 20 or 30 more before the contest comes up, as many as I can really squeeze in between you and I. And so you can see that on screen here, and we'll just go over this as we go through a little bit of the strategy of how to attack best ball content. Don't put it full. I need to see myself on the screen. Put a full screen. I don't know what we're up to here, says, but if you take a look here, some of my key tenets for best ball are showing on screen. What are the keys, right? I want three quarterbacks on my team. I want four to six running backs. I want to load up at wide receiver and then three tight ends. And I'm going to explain why. Now, says, number one, from your perspective, you know, did I draft the correct sort of strategic approach here as you look on screen? I'm going to tell you about some of my decisions and why I made them and where I was able to get some of these players in a second.
So you're asking about roster construction specifically?
Yeah, roster construction is more important than the players themselves.
Does that say Todd Gurley's on your team?
Well, I did get an auto draft in there.
I was going to say, I automatically light this entry on fire. Sure Todd
Gurley. He's like the last pick. It was an auto pick. Listen, I'm a busy guy.
All right.
It's hard for you to pay attention.
And that's okay because we all have those. I have a couple auto picks, but he must have been in your queue because I don't think you can find him on most default rankings.
No, he still shows up there. He still shows up.
Because Todd Gurley will not be on an NFL roster probably opening day. He's going to be similar to what like Devontae Freeman was last year, like a week 8 call because both or three running backs are hurt. And he's Todd Gurley. The one thing he can do is still pass block. So he will probably be a bad one there. But you've drafted so well other than that, I think it's not going to matter. Looking at your roster.
I was able to get
talking about your QBs.
Quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Really late.
Mm-hmm.
Really late. Jalen Hurts. Also dropping, and I'm like, yeah, drop it like it's hot.
Yeah, no, I like that you got Trevor Lawrence because he is, of all of the rookies, I think the only one that I would project to play 17 games this year. Even Zach Wilson, I'm not sure they're going to throw him into the fire week one.
Oh, he's going in the fire.
You would think, because there's no other QB. Yeah. I mean, Joe Flacco. Who is it? Not Joe Flacco. He's not there anymore. I don't even know who their backup is anymore.
They don't have a backup. Yeah. He's going in the fire.
My prediction is that Zach Wilson, they're not going to want to put him in week one. You might be right, though, because there really is no one else there. In fact, somebody suggested today that don't be so sure about Trevor Lawrence starting week one, that they may just want to put Gardner Minshew out there just for a week or two because, one, just to let Lawrence like breathe in, and two, because Gardner Minshew actually does have trade value. And if he can have a game or two, that might be an interesting thing. They also said Gardner Minshew might even be traded. Like, the Patriots should trade for him if they can't get a quarterback in the draft, right?
Well, there are quite a few teams that still lack a quarterback.
And the Patriots are
at the top.
The Patriots
actually don't have a quarterback on the roster.
But they have Cam Newton, but I know how you feel about it.
They actually don't have a quarterback.
And by the way, do you want to hear something? I was reading while I was waiting for you to do this podcast this morning. You want to hear something that's going to make you sick to your stomach?
Oh boy.
This is going to make you sick. Back in February, the 49ers offered the Jets pick 12 for Sam Darnold, and the Jets turned it down because they weren't sure if Zach Wilson's shoulder was healed up yet.
They didn't want to know that.
I know. And the report was called, some credible sources called it BS, but the guy who reported it, Cecil Lammy out in Denver, I believe him. He's a credible source.
If that's the case and that's really true, that would be an epic miss, a miss of such epic proportions. It would be Jets-like, really. It would be the New York Jets.
I said it to get you intentionally riled up. But yeah, let's get back to this.
All right.
So quarterbacks, I like how you played it there. There's in best ball, there's no all you want is someone that's going to get snaps, and then you have the upside of Hurts.
Let me tell you how this draft started. We got the awesome quarterbacks. The biggest one is Hurts for me. I knew once I got Hurts, and that's about round 7 or 8, that I was good at quarterback because this dude puts up 25 points a game every game of his National Football League career. All right? Every game. So, of course, I was going to get Hurts. I told you in the draft kit. Hold on. Where's my draft kit? Put that shit on screen. What did I say in the draft kit? I absolutely love Hurts in all formats.
I'm going
to make him a priority on every team I draft this season. The best thing here is you can get him incredibly late in your draft, regardless of game type. Eagles didn't bring anyone to compete for the QB job, so Hurts and his rushing prowess should be good to go for the full. So that's right. I read the full note.
They did the opposite. They actually shedded their QB room. They obviously traded Carson Wentz and brought in Joe Flacco.
That's right. And you get a little sneak preview of the draft kit right here. Get my notes in it.
Oh yeah, let me get that off the screen. People got to come in to see that.
That's premium content. The people are screenshotting like crazy right there. All right, so I picked on the.
Do you want to do our mock draft?
I mean, we could do a mock, or all right, we could just kind of go through this one. However you want to do it.
Yeah, let's see how you did it. Let's see how you because
yeah, I mean, we could do a mock draft and just draft the first round of a best ball league as if we're any team in the world.
Okay, so let's do it according to how you did it with your drafters draft. So
and just going through this real quick though, I picked on the 12, 13 turn, and what I was able to do here, I always want to load up on running backs, but the running back position was thinning out pretty quick here as we got to the end of the first round. I was able to grab Nick Chubb, who dropped to pick 12, who I love there.
Yeah,
I love. But rather than hammering a second running back where the running back group had gotten to the point where it had gotten a little ugly, the Miles Sanders was hanging around. Some of these names that I wasn't super.
And you don't like Swift. You're not a Swift.
I will not be drafting Swift. I told you, he's not a touchdown scorer. He's not for me. This is half point PPR format as well. Mm-hmm. So what I did with pick two is I went with Tyreek Hill, and I don't normally do that.
That's a good pick.
Fine, right? He's a monster producer. I don't think Sammy Watkins is going to be on that team next year.
Watkins signed with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, he's gone, and Tyreek Hill shined all of last season, but more so in games that Watkins wasn't in there.
So let me ask you this though. But if you draft Tyreek Hill on the 1-2 turn, which is where you're going to have to take him, and I'm in on that. What do you think about doing this for a best ball strategy? And again, I'm just going to throw it out there. Don't immediately shoot it down. Instead of taking like Nick Chubb, Tyreek Hill, take both Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and then in the next roll around, get Pat Mahomes. And obviously stacking in a larger contest is where I'm going with this.
I generally love stacking, but I think that you have to do it without also sacrificing the construction of your team. So,
right. No. So you're saying if you could stack like in rounds 1, 5, and 8, then you still get your good players. But when you have to spend your 1, 2, and 3 on a stack, then you're sacrificing construction.
Essentially, when you're taking Mahomes where you have to, you're ruining your team. Like Mahomes is ruinous to any how we're like, what the fuck are you talking about? How is that even possible? Right. Mahomes on a best ball team is ruinous because he's going in like the second round or the third round.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you should never be taking a quarterback in the third round. So he ruins your team. In the next turn, I was able to get here. So it came back around. I was excited because James Robinson was available. I had to reach a little bit based on ADP for Robinson, but I got Robinson and then I backed up Chubb with Kareem Hunt. And I have to tell you, this was an important move for me because if you've got Hunt and Chubb on the same team, you've now got two producers, but also the backup running back in case any one of them gets hurt, the other one turns into a super stud. So,
but and Hunt is in a unique position too, because he's not just the high yield handcuff. He's also someone like in a season long league that you could store in your lineup. He's actually going to score.
Yeah.
He's going to give you that baseline of 11, 12 fantasy points a week. So you don't mind having him. And then should anything happen to Hunt, you have, you know, a top seven RB already in the waiting for you.
Fully how I now I don't love it in terms of where I had to take Hunt. I will not take Hunt where he goes if I don't have Chubb on the team, because I think the usefulness as a backup is as important or more important as the fact that he also gets you 10 to 12 points a game as a standalone player. So I don't love that for where he is because his upside isn't as massive as I like. But as far as the combination here, what I was saying to myself at this point was, you know what, if I back up Nick Chubb, and we'll do our first round mock or first two round mock here together right here real quick, but I just wanted to kind of describe some of the thought process. So in this case, I figure, all right, I've got the backup to Chubb. I'm locked in. I got James Robinson.
You said something interesting about James Robinson.
It was Robinson and Montgomery in that turn, and then in the following turn I got Hunt. So yeah. I got him later.
Let me jump in here and just say that you were talking about like that you, quote, reached for James Robinson. First of all, I don't think it's a reach, right? And also, but I think that it underlines a bigger point, which is when you're drafting on the ends, the 12 or the 1, you need to reach. Don't be afraid to reach, because you have to reach on almost every pick or else you're going to be chasing value the whole time. And what do I mean by that? Is that sometimes you're going to have to take a player that's 20 spots ahead of ADP. And when you're picking in the middle of the draft, 20 spots is like a round and a half. But when you're picking on the end, that's not reaching, because 24 picks, 23 picks is when the next player is coming back to you. So don't be afraid to reach on the end caps. That's really, and I think you learned that lesson in a dynasty draft that we did last year.
Absolutely. When you draft at the end cap, it is very, very tricky, because the one thing that's really not happening is you rarely, or if you get value dropping to you, it's usually just one. So you got that second pick, right?
Yeah, you're always in reach mode, which
you,
is fine.
You always have to be reaching with your second pick. So
always be reaching. ABR.
ABR, right? The first pick, sometimes you get a value drop. It's that second pick where you're like, oh shit, there's no, it's just how.
But you'll be short-term like panicked that you're reaching, but you'll be long. Like when you look back, like when you're around 11 and you look back at your first six rounds, you're like, oh, okay, I'm good.
It's funny. You reminded me of this, the end caps. I hate drafting on the end caps, guys.
Well, it's a different draft strategy. It's different. It's not that you hate or love. Yes, you could do it very well. You just have to like really think it through.
But when you draft at the end cap, and people don't think about this a lot.
Right.
Yeah, especially if you're a value-based drafter, you like to let the value fall to you. With that second pick, it's never there. So you have to always reach a little bit with the second pick.
ABR.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. So that's where I grabbed James Robinson. And of course, at that point, my running back position was pretty well filled out. And I started to concentrate on the wide receiver position. I was able to grab Adam Thielen kind of late.
I like Thielen, man. Do you know, by the way, do you know how many touchdowns Adam Thielen had last year?
He was 7?
14.
Yeah, so he had a lot of tutties.
Yeah,
he's a tutty scorer.
And right, and it's I don't see any reason why you wouldn't set his projection at 9 this year. And I would take the over on that all day. They have Justin Jefferson. Irv Smith is totally unproven. They're not going to add anybody. You have Dalvin Cook. I like Adam Thielen where he's going this year, which is outside, like in round 4 or 5, man.
And yeah, he was there with like Robert Woods. Like he was low
he's
compared
good,
to where I was expecting. Like he was still there. I was like, holy shit.
I may actually include him in our sleepers section. And I know Adam Thielen's not a sleeper, but at his round five price, he kind of is, because it allows you to go early running back and still get a wide receiver one in round five. We're going to talk about a lot of these type of guys, but I love that you got Adam Thielen. I think that really just, it makes up a lot of ground when you have to reach for the second tier of running backs at the end of the round.
But I mean, look at my starting wide receiver unit here. Tyreek Hill, Adam Thielen, you're not upset here. Now, my third wide receiver taken, Marquise Brown. Don't love him.
For best ball, man, that's the exact type of guy you want as your wide receiver three, the guy that can actually win the week for you. And if he does one of those weeks where he has three catches for 30 yards, you have four other wide receivers that hopefully have a good week. I love Marquise Brown, especially when you don't have to call the shot.
Yeah, he's as a WR3, he'll have those explosive plays, right? I think throughout the season, he'll do enough for me.
Yeah, the worst thing you want is like some guy that just gets you 10 points a week as your WR3. You do not want that. You want the guy that goes crazy, or you want the guy that does nothing.
And strategically, again, what I believe for the wide receiver position in best ball is you need a lot of them, right? And at some point, wide receivers are very volatile. Now, if you get a couple of good ones like a Hill and Thielen, who should be relatively consistent, that is a bonus, because now I'm basically rotating this other group of ne'er-do-wells through my WR2/3/flex position, hopefully when they're having these good weeks. And just real quick, Darnell Mooney is a player I'm just very high on this year.
Can I ask you why? Because I've heard that before, and I want to be in on Darnell Mooney. Can you tell me why that you're in on Darnell Mooney?
Statistically, he was very good last year. Like, you know, of course they had the bad quarterback play, but his yak numbers, his separation numbers were really, really elite, actually, last season. And
he's a small guy, man. He's like, what, 170 pounds? You know, I know he's a speedster and he showed some flashes.
He's a burner.
And you're getting high on him.
They're getting rid of Miller. They're bringing in sort of a more realistic NFL quarterback on the team. It's not Mitch Trubisky or the garbage that was behind
Andy Dalton. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're bringing in a real sort of, I don't love Andy Dalton, but he's an actual NFL quarterback.
Yeah, professional quarterback.
And, you know, let's see if he takes a step forward. A couple other names that I drafted here late. Devontae Parker, again, he was just floating around late. You know, he's a WR1 for his team.
Well, they do have Will Fuller now, and presumably will draft a rookie, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a WR1, WR2. Fuller gets hurt a lot.
Where he's going in drafts, it's perfectly fine.
Yes, super late. And, you know, Devontae Parker's had good years. I mean, again, we'll see how this Dolphins passing offense operates. I'm not high on it, but I think for where I got him, great. Jacoby Myers, breakout player with the Patriots. Again, you know, here is a little bit of a hope that they bring in a quarterback.
Cam Newton. That's who it is.
No. Can't be. There's no way he's so bad.
We went through this last summer. Listen, unless they're able to draft Mac Jones somehow at 15. And by the way, it was a month ago on this podcast that you and I put our flag down. We said there's no way the 49ers are drafting Mac Jones. It looks like the betting markets are going towards what we had said there. I'm convinced at this point, like Justin Fields or Trey Lance is a lock at three. I just cannot see it being Mac Jones.
The betting markets have now flipped, and Fields is favored to be picked third. And
the only reason I wouldn't bet Fields is because it could be Trey Lance.
I don't think it's going to be Trey Lance. It's Fields to me.
It wouldn't be a shock. It wouldn't be a shock.
It's going to be Fields. Fields. So let's take Mac. So stupid.
Yeah, I know. So let's do our mock draft.
All right, let's get into it. All right, mocking the first two rounds of your best ball draft.
One QB.
I need rankings on my screen, so I'm going to turn the rankings on here.
Pull up the DFS Army draft kit rankings, which are live now.
We'll get our DFS Army rankings going.
I am not going to put those on the screen.
We're going to show you how you use this to draft. Now, understanding what is our strategy in best ball. We just saw one of my teams drafted, and the strategy for best ball is the running backs will go early. Why do running backs go early, Says? Explain it for the people.
Position scarcity. You can get good wide receivers later. You cannot get job secure three down running backs later.
Let me mathematically explain this.
Yep.
Okay.
I just have to adjust the light here. So you keep talking while I adjust this light.
There you go. Adjust your light. there are 32 NFL teams, right? Each one has a running back and a backup. For most of them, the backup doesn't play a ton, right? So it's one running back. So let's say there are 32 teams, you got one running back, but only 24 of them are good. Now, in your best ball league, you need two starting running backs, right? In the case of drafters, there are 10 teams in the league. So at the very least, 20 running backs have to go early, right, to fill up these teams. There's a flex spot, so you get another one. You can get up to 30. Now, the difference is every team has three wide receivers on the field at the same time. So, yes, while I might miss getting three WR1s on my team, the WR2s on the field just as much. The WR3s out there.
But here's the key thing with what you just said, though, is that in season-long fantasy where you have to manage your team, it's impossible when you load up on all WR3s, like the Jamison Crowder, the Jarvis. Like, you just don't know who's going to go off when. You're faced with these impossible questions. In best ball, that's the advantage. You don't have to call your shot. Whoever the three best receivers are in your team are automatically going to get inserted to your lineup. So that impossible start-sit dilemma with wide receivers goes away.
Love not having to make in-season decisions, but more importantly, because exactly what you said, you don't have to choose. So if I load up on WR2s and 3s, they do have explosive weeks. They just don't have them as often as the WR1s do. But when you have a lot of them, it can be made up for. So whereas I like to have a couple of good, really good wide receivers to anchor my team, if you're taking backup running backs, they're getting you zeros when their starter is healthy. So if I take, some random Lats Murray type of player, or Alexander Mattison, he's getting me nothing for weeks and weeks, unless the guy gets injured, right? But the number two wide receiver for, Alexander Mattison's the number two running back for the Vikings. The number two wide receiver is freaking Adam Thielen. That dude scored 14 touchdowns.
But so even going further down the depth chart, say in round 10, you get like a Breshad Perriman, Marvin Jones. We know Marvin Jones has two or three weeks where he scores three touchdowns. You never have; those are non-projectable weeks. You're never going to know when Marvin Jones scores those touchdowns. And now you're basically getting top five overall wide receiver production in 3 weeks in a 10th and 11th round.
Yeah, and again, and of course, going over to the QB position, even less important in best ball leagues because there are 32 of them. You only need to start one. Every team can have actual three starters on it. And again, you can cycle through and whichever one is scoring the best. So there's less advantage to having a Kyler Murray.
Yeah, similar to the running backs, you want two or three QBs that have the job secured.
Yeah, that's all. So let's get into it. First round, mock draft, best ball. Now, pick number one to me is the clear and obvious Christian McCaffrey.
You're picking first?
I'll just take Christian McCaffrey first because he is the best player. He is the GOAT of fantasy football. I don't care that he was hurt. I like that he was hurt last year. Got a little rest. Got to rest the bones. Got the shoulder rested. He's coming back stronger than ever.
Usually when the star player from the year before gets hurt and misses the season, they do drop a spot or two in ADP. It happened to David Johnson. It happened to Larry Johnson.
Not happening here.
There's a reason. And I was going to explain that to the people that he did play in three games. And in those three games, he dominated. He scored 30 fantasy points in each of those three games. Yeah. So even coming back from injury, even though he got injured again, you saw that he still has that elite production. So that's why you lock him and load it. Someone like, and we'll get to Saquon Barkley when we get to him, two season-ending injuries, you see his ADP has dropped now. He was a consensus top two pick.
It took the second injury.
Right. And that's so let me ask you this. What happens next year? If Christian McCaffrey goes down for the count after week four, does
then
his ADP
drops next year?
Well, there. So there you go. That's why we're keeping him. Pick number two, Geek, if I'm on the clock, this is a no-brainer to me. I'm going to have Dalvin Cook. He's age 25. He'll be 26 at the end of the year. He is locked and loaded. He is the basis of the offense, even though they still have two good wide receivers. He's involved in the passing game. This is the type of running back that you want. Three down, workhorse, everything centered around him. I know he has had injury issues in the past, but Dalvin Cook amazingly stayed healthy for, I think, 15 of the 16 games last year and was an elite producer. Lock him in at pick two.
Yeah, I mean, he's a wear down as the season goes on guy a little bit. So, again, that's the only red flag on Dalvin Cook, but he'll carry your team to a championship with his early season work. But I do always fear with Dalvin Cook that he's not going to be at his best in December. So keep that. Unlike some of the guys who are coming next,
right?
Dalvin Cook has not been at his best in November, December. So it's just something to keep in mind.
All right, you're up on the clock.
Pick three. I'm going with Jonathan Taylor. Three down back, Colts team. Maybe rejuvenated with Carson Wentz at the helm. I want to believe. But, you know, believe it or not, Jonathan Taylor's breakout star from last season. The Colts are a team that want to run the football, and they throw to him as well. Nyheim Hines will be back, but he's young. He's fresh. The legs are strong. I don't really see too much worry about injuries here other than, you know, flukiness. So I'm going safe. I'm going Jonathan Taylor, pick number three.
Yeah, sure. This is for me. I've gotten a little bit higher on Saquon Barkley as I've seen that he's going to be healthy. There are some safer options in this range, but I'm going to you know what? I was looking at my board. I'm sorry. I'm not going to take Saquon Barkley. I'll leave him for you. I like Aaron Jones right here. And he is number four on the DFS Army rankings.
Aaron Jones.
Yep, Aaron is not a 250 carry running back, but they signed him to top money. He's going to be a 215-ish carry running back, but we expect a large boost for him in the passing game with Jamal Williams gone. They do have A.J. Dillon there, but I do expect A.J. Dillon to have five or six touchdowns, but I don't expect him to be much in the passing game.
Let me give you some numbers on
why. Aaron Jones at pick four?
Yeah, let me give you some numbers on why he's a really good pick. Guys, this is fucking science, bro. I got chemistry kits over here making science. So here's the science of why Aaron Jones is going to smash. Jamal Williams was ranked number two overall as a pass blocker. He is PFF's essentially second-rated pass blocker as a running back in the league. There's a reason why Jamal Williams was on the field and a lot of passing downs for the Packers over the last few seasons, sucking away the opportunities for Aaron Jones. Now, who replaces Jamal Williams? A.J. Dillon. You know what? He's not. He's not the number two ranked pass blocker in the National Football League. As a matter of fact, he's trash. He can't pass block for shit. He's not even coming in on passing downs. He is a two-down bruiser. Now, he'll get his touchdowns, but they weren't giving Aaron Jones the football in those spots anyway. He's going to get his touchdowns probably when the Packers decide to go heavy at the goal line, which isn't very often on that team. They like to throw around the goal line anyway. So, yes, A.J. Dillon will get his opportunities, but more importantly than that, Aaron Jones will be on the field more during passing downs because the number two PFF pass blocker is now on your guy, DeAndre Swift's team, and yep. He will remove DeAndre Swift from the field during passing downs, which is why we drop DeAndre Swift lower on the draft board than where you have it.
Okay, so I took, number one, you took McCaffrey. I took Dalvin at two. You came back with Jonathan Taylor at three. I like that. At number four, I went Aaron Jones. You're on the clock at five in our one QB best ball mock draft. Who do you like at five?
So the decision point here, this is an important decision point in your draft. Kamara, Barkley, and Derrick Henry all on the board. Do I take a chance with Saquon and his injury history? Do I go to Kamara? No more Drew Brees over there.
Or by the way, we're assuming PPR, just so you know.
Yes. Well, this is half point PPR.
No, but I'm saying
we're drafting a half point PPR league, which is great. Or do I go with, I'm trying to remember his name, Derrick Henry Burr.
In half PPR, there's an argument to be made that we've already slipped him to.
I'm going Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
The guy gets better as the season goes on. He's had a ton of carries, but he's a goat. He's a beast. He gets better as the season goes on. And this is the guy who, as you're getting into the best ball championship, remember how a best ball contest works, how a tournament works. You make the tournament, and then in weeks 14, 15, 16, you're now competing with the best teams to win the tournament. So just getting to the sort of final of the tournament isn't enough. You need to be smashing specifically on those last weeks. And while a guy like Dalvin Cook will carry you to getting into the tournament where you win your 14-team league and make the big contest, I think Derrick Henry's the guy on your team that is destroying souls on those last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. It's cold out, snowy, hurts when he hits you. Don't hit me no more. Kick in the door, wave in the 4-4. All they say was, Derek, don't hit me no more.
I agree with all that. I think at this point, in a half PPR, I'm going to pass on Alvin Kamara. I'm going to push him down the board a little bit, and I'm going to go Saquon Barkley. I can't let him fall anymore. I know there's some injury risk. He's 2 years in a row, but I'll gamble that I have somebody that can finish as the RB1. This, you know, for obvious reasons, at pick six, why the hell not?
I still can't believe I just did that rap.
That was good.
Mark that timestamp down. That was pretty awesome.
Yes.
All right. I like the Kamara. I like the Barkley pick here. I'm down.
You know the original song, the one that you were quoting? Do you know what the original song
of
is?
Of course. Get Money, Man. That's my making money song. Every time I take down a tournament, I throw that on.
Pick seven. You're up.
Pick seven. All right. I'm going to shock the world here. So, I mean, this is the Alvin Kamara pick.
Even in half PPR? In half PPR?
Yeah, it's the Alvin Kamara pick. You take Alvin Kamara here. You thank your lucky stars that he dropped to you. You take Alvin Kamara right there. But I will say I had consideration.
Well, don't say because obviously they're going to be the next couple of players.
Well, I had consideration for Antonio Gibson.
Ooh.
I thought about him.
Yeah. I just wrote
to do it. But
yeah, I think he's a defensible first round pick.
I'm saving him. But
I'm not taking him next, so.
Well, that's because you're bad at fantasy football.
I'm going to take, so at pick eight, good pick, by the way. At pick eight, I think I'm going to take someone that's getting too disrespected in these drafts. And maybe it was somewhat of a down season, but Dak Prescott's back with the Dallas Cowboys. So I have all the confidence in the world that Zeke Elliott will not fail as a first round pick at age 25. If you can get him at pick eight, I would say that is a, in this format, half PPR, I would venture to say that I like him better than Alvin Kamara. In full PPR, I think it's more of a debate, especially since there's some unknowns with the quarterback position in New Orleans. So, yeah, I'm going to go Zeke Elliott. I think he's getting too disrespected in a lot of these dynasty drafts and certainly in best ball. You should be very happy. Number eight, Zeke. Lock him in. Who do you got at nine?
Zeke has gone from an exciting player that you're psyched to have on your team to more of a yeoman-like scorer. He's out there. He's there every week. Does his thing.
I don't mind. I've become in my
points
in my more experienced days of fantasy football. Now, I'm really okay with taking boring players at this point. I used to like always reach for like the super exciting, sexy young guys, and nowadays I don't mind taking like Julio Jones and you know Adam Thielen. We talked about before guys like that.
Just boring.
Yeah, because I like winning.
Let's move on now. There's another decision point here. There are some names at the running back position that excite me, and I am going to grab one of them. But I did think about Travis Kelce in this spot. I thought about it. I flirted with it. I said, Kelce, man, that's a fucking nice little 30-point every single week tight end. I don't have a problem if you take Kelce here. 30 points a week, the best scoring player in fantasy
football. Half PPR, though.
Touchdown machine, even more important to grab Kelce, a touchdown maker. Okay. And you cannot replace his production even with three tight ends later in the draft. You ain't getting Kelce. So I have no problem with Kelce here. I'm really thinking about it. I pull the trigger on Antonio Gibson.
Yeah. That's pick nine, Antonio Gibson. I mean, that's a little bit of a reach as Gibson's going at the 2-3 turn. But so if you're in this position, you know what? I'm going to get behind the pick. I don't mind it. You probably could have gotten him in the second round. You're picking a pick nine, but maybe not. Maybe there's another Gibson person, you know, and if you are on a per game basis, Geek, Antonio Gibson finished as an RB1, and that was, you know, fighting through bad quarterback play, fighting through backfield competition, and through some injuries. So if he plays all 17, why not?
My big thing with Gibson is it's a team that wants to run the football, and I believe that the Redskins or the Washington football team will win more. I think they're set up now to be a winning team, a playoff team, and a strong playoff team this year. So, you know, in a very weak division, I think actually the Washington is going to run away with the division this year, and that just means leaning on the run more. I think Gibson is a breakout star, and he can catch. Everything about this guy I like. I like him better than Swift. I like him better than Akers, who doesn't do much in the passing game. And the really other running back consideration for me here was Nick Chubb. But again, I don't have any problem with if you went with Kelce in that spot. And if you go with Kelce on the next pick, I will applaud that.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do it just for all the reasons that you and I outlined in best ball formats, is that you don't need, you know, you can put together two or three tight ends. You're not going to get the Kelce production, but the deficit that you lose at running back is too much. And I think in best ball format specifically, you can need to, there's 12 running backs I need to take even before the elite wide receivers. So, Nick Chubb or I'm deciding here between Nick Chubb and who's I have here? Oh, and Cam Akers. I'm a little worried about Cam Akers versus the market. And, you know, we can talk about him at another show. And again, I still think he's a rock solid second round pick.
Much better team this year with Stafford at the helm.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Like we saw that nice sample at the end, you know, but I just think Nick Chubb is a better bet to be a rock solid RB1. If you're going to tell me who could be the overall RB1 of those two, it's probably Cam Akers. But if you're telling me who do I think is going to rank higher with fantasy points at the end of the year, and you're giving me even odds, I'm going to take Nick Chubb. So I'll just take him here at pick 11. I think, pick 10. And again, boring pick, half PPR favors someone like Nick Chubb. He should have himself about 9 to 12 touchdowns this year. So I don't think there's much to say other than if you're at the end of the round, don't be afraid to take someone like Nick Chubb. Who do you got at the 11 pick, Geek?
With pick a number, if I'm team 11 and I'm picking right now, I'm going to Kelce and I'm rubbing my hands together like Mr. Burns. Excellent. And the reason why is exactly what I explained before. 25 to 30 points every single week from the tight end position. Yes, will I need to back him up in case he gets hurt? Sure, but I can wait super late in the draft for another tight end. And again, picking 11, I know I've got another pick two or three away. I'll be able to grab a quality running back with that second. It's a must that you take a running back with your second pick. You need an anchor. It's probably going to be a Cam Akers or an Antonio Gibson.
Took Gibson, and I'm in a different
league. If he hadn't been taken explain. Yet.
Okay, let's go through this exercise because I think this is important. Okay, so at 11, you took Kelce. Yeah. On the turn here, I am taking just Cam Akers. We already
two picks.
Yeah, so I'm taking Cam Akers and I'm taking Austin Eckler.
There you go.
All right. So when it comes back to you, are you taking DeAndre Swift there, or are you now going to take the best wide receiver, Davante Adams? That's the dilemma you're faced with
I'm
now.
Taking Davante Adams here because he was artificially dropped to a point where I must take him. And now,
right.
Did I start off slow at running back? Yes, it did.
So who are you looking at in the run back? I'm going to tell you who you're looking at. You're probably looking at one of the rookies before they have been placed, Travis Etienne or Najee Harris, or the other rookies that you're going to be looking at. And again, I'm not against this. Or someone like Chris Carson, David Montgomery,
It seems a little soon to pull the trigger on those guys.
Well, that's when you're going to have to do it. Or yeah, Kareem Hunt or, you know, those. So if you pass, just know that those are going to be the type of running backs. One of the strategies, and I think I've studied the drafters.com board. If you do what you did and you're going for fantasy points, and tell me what you think about this. Just don't be forced into David Montgomery. Don't be forced into those guys. Who are the running backs in round 5, 6 and later that you can get just to fill in those gaps? I like someone like Raheem Mostert. You can get in round 6.
Or Jeff Wilson.
Jeff Wilson can get 3 rounds later after that. You can back him up. So there are players that if you just want to get the point scores, the Davante Adams, that you can. It's going to be ugly at running back. And that's what we're talking about. But Mostert is a perfect round 5, round 6 target for you at that point.
And by the way, if I started with, in that team, I started with Kelce. I went with Davante Adams, second pick. I've got extreme studliness at wide receiver and tight end. And again, next round, there's a reasonable chance that somebody like Miles Sanders, James Robinson is hanging around, some of the rookies. One of the rookies that I really love grabbing, Javonte Williams, the third guy going off the current number 3 ranked running back.
Yep.
Did I say his name right? Javonte Williams?
Javonte Williams, you got it.
Fucking A, man. I can't believe I got that right.
The only issue, and again, I'm agreeing with you, Javonte Williams is the RB3 in this class. He's going to probably be a late round two pick. But his pro day weigh-in was 212 pounds, and his 40 time was not like super fast. I mean, he does have some good tape, but I'm just concerned that in best ball, taking him in round three and four, and that's where he's going, you know, like you hit it right on the head. But I want to see where he's not someone, let's just say I was in a high stakes best ball, I'd be a little dubious about relying on him, because he could be one of those two down guys that's in a committee. Like I could see Arizona taking him, and then they still have James Conner and Edmonds there. Yeah. Well, so be careful.
But let's be clear what we're drafting for a tournament, right? Yeah. This is win or you get nothing. Mm-hmm. You get nothing if you don't win. So again, we got the beautiful overlay on drafters.com. I love me some overlay. Doesn't mean it's an easy win. And in a tournament format, I'm taking chances. It's not, I can't treat it like a high dollar league. I want to take some risks. And I think these guys, think about what happens if Javonte Williams is drafted by the Steelers. All of a sudden, he's a first-round pick, a second-round pick. If he's drafted by the Falcons, all of a sudden, he's a first-rounder, a second-rounder in this. So I'm getting a bargain based on a gamble of where this guy goes. Sure, if he's picked by the Bills, I don't think he's a first-round pick. You know, so like it depends where you go. It depends where you go, but I love that pick, and that's how I'd go later on. So where are we at? I just took Davante Adams off the board. That was
pick. We were only doing the first 14. Round. We're gonna stop there.
Okay,
we're gonna stop there, and then we're gonna pick up this mock in the next. We're gonna do round two and three together next week.
All right. Yeah. Well, I wanted
just to show people that how the first round works, because now people are just getting into these best balls. And how you pick in round one really does determine how the rest of your draft goes. And that's what I was trying to show. And I'm glad you took Kelsey in round one, because there are implications of that. You can win it like that, but you need to understand that the value is not going to be there in the second round for running backs. So you need to pass again. And now just be careful. Don't chase. Just understand that your running backs are going to be a little bit weaker. And we should get into that next time.
Yeah. I would say the lesson here is don't be afraid to take a Davante Adams. Don't be afraid to take.
Well, you're never upset Travis with Davante Kelce. Adams. It's just
or Tyreek Hill, like I did in my draft, where you know I don't want some Joe Mixon guy on my team. I'm going to take a super stud wide receiver at that point. That's a big mistake.
Don't be afraid to screw up your draft, just like Geek did.
Well, the only screw up there was Todd Gurley with like the auto pick round 19. I got busy with something. But overall,
let's wrap this one up.
So that'll do it for this mock draft, guys. A little bit of best ball strategy. Remember, you can go check out this contest, this early best ball NFL championship. It locks on April 29th, so it will not fill. These guys on this site do not have enough people to fill a 6,000 entry contest. So you're going to get a really, really great opportunity to have a chance at the finals, much better than you get anywhere else. If you got to go up against 6,000 other people rather than 3,500 other people, but you're being paid as if 6,000 people are in the tournament, that is free money. So go check that out on
drafters.com.
Promo code DFS Army. And more important than anything else, don't forget to like and subscribe to this channel. We need you here hitting the like button so that people see these podcasts. If you like what we're doing, if you enjoy fantasy football content year round, and this type of content and you want to support the show, that's all we can ask you to do. Hit the like and subscribe button. Share it. Tell your friends. All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Bold Call Fantasy Football Podcast. We will be back again next week. We're going to continue this mock, but we're also going to be talking some NFL draft. We're going to do our NFL draft mock. We're even going to try to bring on a betting expert to talk about some potential bets on the NFL first round. There are odds out there and there are some interesting bets floating around. So we are working on that. We'll see. We'll have something going for next week. And for myself and Season Long says, take care, everyone. See you next time.
The best coaches in the game, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing